This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis, chapter 21. The book of Genesis, chapter number 21. It's not often that I do what I'm going to do this morning, where I have a message that is pointed at one particular group of people, maybe even one particular person, but I'm certain this is what the Lord has. I was in the car yesterday coming down the road, and Erica, she kindly leaned over on the door of the seatbelt, was resting, and I was praying, and I was thinking, I was listening to the scripture and some songs, and this hit me, and I want to give to you this morning, I believe it's the Spirit of God, a word to single mothers. Genesis chapter number 21 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child." Now here's what's interesting. She's lost such hope. She doesn't call it my child anymore. She says, "I don't even want to see the kid die." And she says, and it says in verse number 16, "And she sat over against him, and she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make of him a great nation. And God called, God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle in the water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer." Father, it is in the name of Jesus this morning that I seek you. It is in the name of Jesus this morning that I call upon you. Lord, I know that this is the word that you have for your people today. And so my prayer is specific and intentional. You apply it to individual hearts. Lord, make it a specific application to specific people. Let not one person, even though they feel like this may not apply to them, do not let one person walk out of this room without speaking to them in some way. My God, let them know that you are God and besides you there is none else. And Lord, I dedicate this first service in my eighth year, this year of new beginnings. But my Heavenly Father, it is this morning that I dedicate this year to you as I did the first year. And I say, Lord, this is your church and these are your people and I am your pastor. And you do with me as you would see fit. Teach me what you want me to learn. Help me to say what you want me to say. And close my mouth when you're done. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Well, Abraham had messed up. He'd gone and he'd listened to his wife Sarah and he'd taken the handmaid Hagar. And Hagar had had a child. He'd had a child with Hagar. God told him he's going to have a child, but he said, "You're going to do it my way." And Abraham said, "No, I think I'll do it my way." Well, he has a baby with this woman whose name is Hagar, Hagar the handmaiden. And she goes and she has a baby and his name is Ishmael. And Ishmael is a young man. He's a man that loves his daddy and he loves his mama. Well, the day finally comes when God tells to Ishmael or to Abraham, it's coming. You're going to have a son, the son I promised you. Not the son you had with her, but the son I promised you. And he has Isaac with Sarah. Well, immediately when that baby Isaac is born, it creates a huge problem for Ishmael and for Hagar. Because Sarah and Isaac want to make sure that the inheritance goes to them and not to Hagar and Ishmael, which it should have because he was the firstborn. And here's what Sarah says. Sarah says, "My son Isaac should have been the heir of everything you have. But if you let that woman, Hagar, and her son Ishmael stay in the camp, then he and she, when you die, will kill me and this baby. And so Abraham is told by God, Abraham, it's okay, let her go. You can let her go. Let her go out into the wilderness. And so she starts a journey. One morning she wakes up and she's married to Abraham, has all of her needs taken care of, has everything that she's going to possibly need. I'm getting ready to talk to somebody. And before that day is over, she's a single mother with her child in her arms and all she's got. That morning she didn't just have a water, she had the well. That morning she didn't just have a piece of bread, she had the bakers and she had the confectionaries and she had everything. But that night she goes to bed. You know what she had? She's got nothing. She doesn't have a pillow to lay her head on. She doesn't have a blanket to put over her body. She doesn't have a house to put over her head. She's got a bottle of water and she's got a little boy. And the day comes, they use up that bottle of water. One morning she wakes up and she's the married, she's the wife of the rich man Abraham. But before she lays her head on the floor that night, she's a single mother that has nothing to give, has nothing to say, has nothing to help, has nothing to hold on to. She's a single mother and she's doing like everybody else. She says, what in the world am I going to do? And this situation leaves her so messed up that she loses her focus. If you look back in verse number 15 of this chapter, I want you to notice something. The Bible says, and the water was spent in the bottle and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. It doesn't say she put the child under the shrub. Honey, she hauled off and hurled that boy underneath that shrub. She'd had so much, she couldn't take any more. And so she takes that baby and she throws that little boy up under that shrub and she says, I can't. Can you imagine a mother getting so down in the dumps and so upset over her plight and over her situation that she didn't want to have anything to do with the only thing that she has? All she's got is that little baby. All she's got is that little boy. But she says, I don't want anything to do with him. And she throws him under. She lost her focus. And that's where some of you are sitting this morning. The world, the flesh, and the devil, and relationships that have fallen apart have left you out of focus. And you are like a chicken with your head cut off, just running in a circle. You are unfocused. You can't figure out what to do when you wake up. You're ready to go to bed. When you go to bed, you're upset that you hadn't got anything done that day. And you have no focus. She also lost her faith in God's promise. It says in verse number 16, and she went and sat her down against him a good way off. And she said, let me not see the death of the child. Now, what does that mean? Now, here's what it means. God had told her back in chapter number 16, the baby that's born to you, I'm going to raise him up and he is going to be a great nation. But here she is. Her husband's forsaken her. She got no money. She got no food. She's got no water. She's got no drink. She doesn't have lamb to eat. Doesn't have a donkey or a camel to carry her on away. If you want to put that language, you understand. She doesn't have a Cadillac or a Pontiac. She got nothing at all. She's got nothing to take her anywhere, nothing to help her with. And this is what she does. God told her, I'm going to make out of this boy a great nation. But here she is out in the wilderness saying, this boy's going to die. And I don't even want to watch it. You know, it's amazing to me when single mothers and single fathers, whenever they're left alone, one of the very first things the devil does is cloud up their mind to the promises God has made to them. What kind of promises has God made to you? I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I won't abandon you. I won't throw you to the side. I won't let you starve. I won't let you die. I will take care of your children. I will be a father to the fatherless. I will be the husband to the widow. I will be the caretaker of those that have no one to care for them. And he says, I will raise it up. And she says, just go over there and die, son. Just go die. She lost her focus on God's promise. And then here's the worst part. She lost all hope. Look at what it says at the end of verse 16. And she lift up her voice and wept. There is one thing that is worse than death. And it's hopelessness. If you ever get to the point where you feel like I'll never make it and there's no chance I'll ever make it, you may as well in your soul go ahead and die, because that's how you feel on the inside. Doesn't matter if you live, doesn't matter if you die. I'm telling you, that is my big problem right now with the nation and what we're doing. We've taken hope out of our schools. We've taken hope out of our churches. We've taken hope out of our messages. We've taken hope out of our prayer. I'm preaching now. We've taken hope out of our existence. We've taken hope out of our marriage. We've taken hope out of the nation. We've taken hope out of the Congress. We've taken hope out of the government. We've taken hope out of every form and fashion and stitch of America, and we can't figure out why people are acting like they are. You take hope out of the equation and you'll have dead people walking around. That's all you have. And that's where that single mother was. Doesn't matter if I live, and it doesn't matter if I die. Who cares? Beloved, I'm looking at people here today that are just like this woman. The world, your choices, others' choices, marriage, failed marriages, whatever you want to say, have left you feeling exactly like Hagar. You've lost all hope, and all you want to do is go to bed when you wake up, and when you go to bed at night, you just can't even feel like I've lost and wasted an entire... What word does God have? Well, if that was the end of the story, that would be bad enough. But I want you to look at verse number 17. Verse number 17, watch what the Bible says. And God heard the voice of... Wait a second. I didn't see anywhere in there where that little boy was talking at all. I didn't see anywhere in that verse. I need to take my tie down. I feel preaching my soul right now. I don't see anywhere in there where that little boy said a word to anybody in that whole passage. I hear the mama crying. I see Abraham back at the house crying. But here's the point. When the world was focused on Hagar and Moses, there was a God in heaven that had his eyeballs on those two little babies. Had that eyeball there on Isaac, the promised seed. But he didn't forget Ishmael, because Ishmael didn't want to be born into this mess. Ishmael didn't try to get into this junk. And here's what I'm telling you right now, mama. You may have messed up. It may have been your fault. You married the wrong man. Or it may have been that man's fault that he run off on you. Ain't no need trying to pick games and play sides on either thing. You are where you are, and you is dealing with what you is dealing with. So let's stop trying to play Dr. Phil for a minute and get real right down to the bone. I'm telling you, there is hope in your life, and there is hope in your life because of that little boy or that little girl. There's a God in heaven that ain't looking on playing sides, but he hears the voice of your youngest that's calling in the night. He hears the voice of that baby when it cries because its mama's upset. He hears the voice of every single mother. He hears the voice of every single father. He hears the voice of every child that cries in the night. My brother-in-law told me a story. Would that be my brother-in-law, Hunter, my brother-in-law? Yeah, I try not to claim him too much, but he's my brother-in-law. He told me the other day he went over to Smith Homes here in town, and he walked in. They went on a fire call one night, several years ago rather, and he went in and they walked into an apartment. There was a little grandparents, three generations living in one of those little Smith Home apartments, and there was an old couple in there, and there was a mother and father in there, and that little boy was inside of that building. That little five-year-old boy came out and he saw them men come in those fire suits. Somebody had a heart attack or something. He said that little boy came up to him with tears in his eyes, and it was Christmas time, and he said, "Have you brought us Christmas presents? Are you Santa Claus? There's nothing under our tree. There's nothing in our house. There's no food. Have you brought us anything at all?" Here's what I'm telling you. This world may have forgotten every orphan. This world may have forgotten every child. This world may have forgotten every person. That doesn't matter to the government. I don't care what a senator says. They're up there smoking their cigars and spending your money. I don't give a flip if they're Democrat or Republican. They all need Jesus, and every one of them need to get saved. The president in and the president coming. They all need the loving Lamb of God. But let me clear me off a spot like a Brahma bull on this stage and say there's a God in heaven that hears the whimper of every child, and he hears the cry of every orphan, and he hears your children's cry. There's no child that's too small that God doesn't hear their voice. There's hope for every single mother and every single father. You say, what word do you have? It ain't what word I have. It's what word does God have to every single mother or father? I've got three words that God gave me this morning. Number one, look in verse number 17. He gives the word of courage. Look at what he says in verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not." Let me stop and give you that Guilford County interpretation of that. He looks out of heaven. I mean, she's crying. She's snotting. It's running out of every crevice on her head. And she's just all upset. And this is what God out of heaven says. He says, "Girl, what's wrong with you? Why are you so upset? Why are you crying?" Now, there's a lot the Bible doesn't say. I'm reading it. We call this the King Tyler Version. You can get it, like it, or lump it. I don't care. But here's what the King Tyler Version says. She said, "What's wrong with you, girl? Why are you so upset?" I believe Hagar looked at the angel of God and said, "Don't you know? My husband put me out. My husband doesn't care about me anymore. My husband," and that's where so many of you are. You're so upset on what has changed down here in this world. "My husband's not with me anymore. My wife," and that's bad. I don't want to belittle your pain, but you got to take your eyes off of this right here and lift your eyes up to the one thing that has not changed. This down here may have changed, but that up there has not changed. Your husband left you. Your God didn't leave you. Your husband abandoned you. Your God didn't abandon you. Your wife run out on you. Your God did not run out on you. Your wife cheated on you. Your God didn't cheat on you. Your youngins don't want to have anything to do with you. There's a God in heaven that wants to have everything to do with you. And that's why he looks at you and I and says, "Fear not." Don't be afraid. What are you so afraid of? Here's what she is afraid of. Number one, who's going to give to this woman assistance? Who's going to help a put out woman and her baby? Can I give you the real short version so this message doesn't go on a long time? Who's going to help a put out woman and her baby? You ready? God. God. Now, your husband or your wife may have been as sorry as the scum at the bottom of the sewer. They may have been as sorry as a sack of sin. I don't have any idea what your husband or your wife was like, but who they are doesn't change who God is. And God, they may not want to have anything to do. They may not pay child support, and you may not get a lick of alimony out of it. Y'all act like y'all ain't never heard a preacher tell you the truth. I'll go ahead and just tell it to you. They may not help you with alimony, and they may not help you with child support, and I can't make them. I wish I could. I wish I could take every dime out of their bank account and give it to you, but I can't change that. But you've got to understand, there's a God in heaven that if you've been saved by the grace of God and said, "I'll make sure you got bread on your table. I'll make sure you got water in your sink. I'll make sure your electric bill's okay." He's the God that says, "They may not assist you, and they may not assist you, and they may not help you, and they may not help you, but lift your eyes unto the hills. Whence cometh your help? Our help cometh from God." I'm telling you, there's single mothers in here right now, and they've walked through this valley. They've been in that place, and they're on the other side, and they'll lift up their hands and they'll testify that there's a faithful God in heaven that'll help you. He'll assist you. He'll strengthen you. He'll empower you. He'll help you. He's the God that assists the one that has no one to assist them. Now, here's one. I'm going to go ahead and play a little Dr. Phil right quick. You ready? All right, here we go. I took a counseling class one time, so I think that qualifies me. You ready? Here we go. You're not just worried about who's going to assist you. You're worried about who's going to accept you. You're worried that there's a big scarlet letter on your chest. You're so afraid that if they see you go into the Chick-fil-A with a handful of youngins, I wonder why her husband left her. Lord God, I wonder why his wife left him. I mean, you know, he really does have that look. I bet she is one of them. And we're so worried about what everybody thinks about us. You know what got you in the mess the first time? Thinking you could solve all your problems with the person you married. You know what us people that have been married and hadn't divorced, you know what we figured out? That person can't help you and solve your problems. You messed up when you got married. You messed up while you're married. And you're going to be messed up if that marriage don't work out. You know why? They can't fix you. So stop trying to find acceptance on this realm. You do realize that right now there's a God in heaven that knows everything about you. He knows every fault you have. He knows every issue you have. He knows every failure you have. He knows every problem you have. He knows every fear you have. He knows every time you've messed up. He knows every time you've fallen out. He knows every single time. And he still looks at you and says, "Don't worry, child. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I'll never turn you out. I love you just the way you are. And I love you so much that I'm going to give my darling son for you. And he's going to die for your sin. And he's going to die for your failure, and he's going to die for your mess up, and he's going to die for what you could not be and what you could not do. He loved you so much he gave everything he had just so you knew how much he loved him. And yet you're worried because Bubba didn't come to your family for Christmas, and you're worried that Gertrude didn't come and give you a Christmas present. Get your eyes off of this realm and lift your eyes up to the realm that matters, and that's God in heaven. He'll always accept you. Hagar, don't worry about Abraham. Fear not." Ma'am, what are you so afraid of? Now, I wouldn't want to be in your boat either. But I don't have to be in your boat. Because God says, "I will be with you." He gives to us a word of courage. He says, "Fear not." Number two. You know, a lot of people look at me and they say, "Man, you've just had it so easy. You don't know." Listen, I've walked this path. I watched what it was like for a single mama to have to care. I watched what it was like to see somebody struggle to make ends meet. I watched what it was like when they put the for sale sign in our front yard. I watched all that. And here I am, 35 years old, 6 foot tall, none of your business pounds. And I'm telling you, on this side, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't look for acceptance. Fear not. He gives a word of courage. Number two, he gives a word of clasping. Look at what he says. You say, "What does clasping mean?" I don't know. I need another C word to fit into my outline, so that's what you got. You could say the word grip, hold on to. Look in verse number 18. Watch what he tells her. "Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand." Now God gives to her something to do. He said, "Girl, you need to go hang on to that boy. You've thrown him to the side. You need to stop and go get him and hold him tight in your arms." Why? Watch what he says. "Because out of him, I will make a great nation." You know what he says? You ready? He says, "Hagar, that man's done forsook you. Forsook, forsaken, whatever the English word is. He's gone. Kicked your tail out. Don't worry about him. Grab on to your son. You thought Abraham was going to be your meal ticket. Abraham wasn't going to be your meal ticket. This boy right here is your meal ticket." And I got to thinking about this today, and I pondered it this morning. I said, "Now, Lord, I don't understand. What does this have to do with us, and what does this have to do with your people? Why, God, would you tell your people, arise and grab back hold of your children, single mothers and fathers?" Simple. Because what happens in our minds and in our hearts when we are rejected by the one that we loved, gave ourselves to, and they reject us, our first knee-jerk reaction is to go find somebody else to prove to them and to me that I'm not a failure. I'm not a mess up. I'm holding in somebody's tater patch right now. You know what God said? He said, "Forget that. You take that boy and you grab hold of him and you make him your mission." I'm going to help you right quick. You ain't going to like it, but that'll be fine. You need to stop worrying about all those other people and those other men and all those other women trying to prove who you are and what you are to them. You'll never prove it to them, and you're going to end up broken and hurt again. You know what you need to do? You need to grab hold of those blessings God's given to you. and say, from the morning sunrise to the evening setting thereof, they're going to be my mission. When I wake up, I'm going to be thinking about them. When I'm at work, I'm going to be thinking about them. When I'm going through the day, I'm going to be praying for them. When I'm out there, I'm going to be lifting their arms up in prayer. When I'm in here, I'm going to make sure I'm loving them. When they go wrong, I'm going to make sure I tell them that they've done wrong. I'm going to do everything in my power. I'm not letting go of those children, because here's what happens. You've been forsaken by that man. You've been forsaken by that woman. You've been turned aside by that spouse. And the very thing you do is you go run and find somebody else, and you do to those children what was done to you. You were abandoned. And you don't even mean to, but you abandoned them. Mamas and daddies, you know what you need to say? You need to treat them like God treats you. When all the world forsakes you, God says, I'm still here. I'm still here. I've got so many funny stories about me and my mama and my sister. When my mother dies, I'm going to tell a lot of them. Well, I've got so many funny stories. Lord have mercy. At her funeral, I'm going to tell one or two of them. I've got some stories about when we were going through all this stuff, and it was just me and my mother and my sister. And one time it was a Saturday night. It was a Saturday night. It was in the end of November. They had set up the Tanglewood Festival of Lights. If you've never been there, you need to experience that one time in your life. But let me help you. Make sure you go on a Friday night right near Christmas. The lines will be way down. That's when you need to go, okay? They tell you the half-off nights. Don't do those nights, because they don't turn on half the lights anyways. Go right before Christmas on a Friday night. The Friday right before Christmas. Make sure, though, your kids hadn't been fed, because they'll give you food throughout. Don't feed your kids or anything. And especially, don't go to the bathroom. Don't go to the bathroom. Drink a gallon of water. Don't go to the bathroom. They've got these special Christmas porta-johns. You'll love them. What was I talking about? So one time, me and mother and my sister, I was 18 years old. You know, you go through times like that in your life, and you just feel so just, your mind is messed up. Your heart's messed up. Your thoughts are messed up. And those of you, it doesn't have to be that somebody's a bang. It could be a death. It could be something. I don't know what it is. We got in our car. It was 8:30 one night. If I'm lying, I'm dying. This is the truth. I know sometimes my preacher stories get that big. This is the honest truth. We got in our car on that Friday or Saturday night, whenever it was. We got in our car. We drive all the way up to the Clemens exit. The Tanglewood Festival of Light. We get up there. We get off the exit, and the line is on the bridge that way, half a mile. You know how far that is. Those of you that watch it on TV, that's a long way. Well, we figured the best thing to do was try to find a different way. Well, if you've ever been up there, they amble one way. And if you ever try to go out of that way, they're going to put you in that way before you get in that way. So we spent 35 minutes just driving around. Finally, we realized there ain't but one way to get in this thing. So we get in that line and we wait. We waited for 2.5 hours. We get at the gate of Tanglewood. We can see the prom. And we've laughed. We have joked. We were so happy. I mean, we just as if there wasn't a problem, that we just laughed. And I looked at my mother and my sister, and I said, Mama, I said, let's go home. You know what she said? All right, sounds good. We get out of the line, and we get back. We go around the back way, got on the highway, went home, and slept better than we all had in 3 months. You know why? Because we didn't have a lot out there. But I knew we had each other. The God of heaven looks at you and says, lady, man, quit trying to find someone to hold you, and you hold them. But then he gives a word of guidance. He says in verse number 19, notice what he says, and God opened her eyes. What did God show her? And she saw a well of water. Now, I'm not going to try to go in and tell you everything that well was, but those wells in the Bible are a picture of Jesus. How do I know? Because wells are there before they got there. They're deep, and they hold life-giving flow. You know how they hold that? Because they've tapped into the source of that life-giving flow down in the heart of the earth. They're a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what God showed her? God showed her how to give that boy life. You know how you give that boy life? Give him the well. You know how you give that child life? Hagar? Give him the well. You know how to take care of that boy? Give him the well. You know how to give that man life? Give him the well. Here's what I'm telling you. It's what God's trying to show you, ma'am. It's what God's trying to show you, sir. God is trying to show you that it's not in people. It's not in things. It's not in relationships. It's not in homes. It's not in your house as this and it's not that. It's not in your car has this clank and not that clank. It's not that you've got this accessory and you've got that. Do you have the source of the well? Have you been able to tell those children about the meaning of life? Have you been able to look at those children and say, I've got something that will sustain us in the deepest, darkest hour. I've got water when we're thirsty. I've got bread when we're hungry. I've got hope when we're hopeless. I've got light when we're in darkness. I've got peace when we're at war. I've got love when we've got no love. I've got all the answers, and it's found in the well that is Jesus Christ. Ma'am, I am 35 years old. I played ball. I played it all. Your boy and your girl do not need more sports. Your children need Christ. Your babies need Jesus. Your children need the Lamb of God. She was shown the well. God has a word to you, single parents. You've absolutely been beaten down, destroyed, tattered, and battered. God has for you a word of encouragement. Fear not. He's got a word of gripping. Hold on to that baby and teach him everything you can about Christ. And he's got a word of guidance. Get back on track and go to the well.